Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome back, kids. 2023 NFL Pick'em Show. Last week of the season, potentially. We'll see what they're going to do with that Bills-Bengals game. But first, we're always brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today by heading on over to MyBookie.com, entering in that promo code DRINKINGBROS to double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Breaking news here at the top of the show, NFL-related-wise. Damar Hamlin is awake. He is alert. He's with his family members there. And according to doctors, the first question he asked was, did we win the game? And they said, no, you won. You won again at life. So it appears as if he's going to be okay. And that's awesome to see. We chatted about this briefly yesterday, but we can go more into it today. It's like a 1 in 264 million chance that you get hit right at the perfect time and your heart is thrown out of rhythm there. Had nothing to do with vaccines or anything else, right? It's just a perfect shot.
Probably. I mean, we don't know.
Maybe.
It could be, for all we know, it could be that a vaccine injury or myocarditis from just having COVID or pericarditis from having COVID made it more likely for that to happen. We have no idea is the answer, right? But Bob, if you want to find the Chris Pronger one on Twitter, I think we should play it just so people can see it, because it literally went down exactly like
it's identical. Yeah, I mean, we've seen this happen in the past, and to me it wasn't as shocking as everybody made it out to be. It's shocking because we haven't seen it in the NFL yet, but we have seen it in other sports.
Well, it's so rare that it happens generally. Mostly it's happened in college and high school lacrosse because of and they actually redesigned the shoulder pads to make them less pointed, so it and less more rounded and less blunt for that very reason. And then like Little League baseball, where the chest cavity is not fully developed.
There was a kid that died in Little League.
That's where you usually see it. But here's, put this up on the screen. This is Chris Pronger in 1998, maybe.
Yep,
I think. And they'll show the replay.
So he gets hit in the chest, and then he gets up, everything's fine, and then
cardiac arrest.
Yeah, I remember this, actually.
Yeah.
I was watching this game.
Yeah, and nobody really brought this up during the telecast either. And Chris Pronger is one of the most famous NHL players of all time, but I remember this.
He is one of the best hockey players ever.
Yeah.
One of the most accomplished. He's on the top 100 list of all-time. You can see right here, he gets hit in the chest with a line drive, with a slap shot.
Yep.
Boom, right in the left side of the chest where the heart is, stumbles because it hurts, gets back up just like Hamlin, and then falls back down. So all these people are like, oh, he fucking didn't immediately collapse, so it's not commotio cordis. Like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just and all the doctors on the internet who are
not doctors.
Well, there's that part of it, too, but there's actual physicians on the internet trying to diagnose this guy without ever having fucking been in his presence, which is, in my opinion, you should just shut your fucking mouth. Malone and McCullough built a reputation for themselves as being willing to fucking go against the grain and stuff, but now they're just pimping their own beliefs,
right?
Just so they can continue to be relevant. That is not good science either. So don't align yourself with people.
Yeah, because even when this happened, I'm on a thread with a bunch of buddies from Ohio State. One of them's a doctor, and he had said the exact same thing as what you're describing with Chris Pronger. And he goes, I can tell you this is what it is. But he's also like, dude, these people on the internet are fucking crazy. Like, and he goes, as a doctor, that's why I don't go on the internet and try to diagnose shit like this, because then you get... you become a part of it, and what happens if you're wrong?
The thing that irritates...
what happens if you're wrong in the end, and they find out it was something different?
The thing that really irritates me about it, and the thing that should irritate all of you as well, is that there are people who are suffering from legit vaccine injuries all the time. I believe it's 1 in 5,000 by some studies for men under 30 years old, right? So athletes.
Right.
Most athletes are men under 30 years old. So when you just try to fucking, it's confirmation bias. And it does a disservice to the people who are actually suffering from that particular injury, because now when this gets proven to not be that, people who are propagandists, who refuse to believe or admit whichever that the vaccine can be dangerous for certain people, that they'll use this as evidence that you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
because you've planted your fucking flag there. It's stupid. This is not how things are supposed to work.
No, but the good news is he is alive, mm-hmm. alert and awake. His family is with him, according to this report here. He woke up last night, it says, and he's surrounded by family members, and his eyes are open and everything else. And he is answering questions, mm-hmm. Albeit through like a typing device.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about this is, if they don't find some underlying heart condition that caused this, if it just was a freak injury, like Chris Pronger went on to play 12 more seasons after this.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
He will if there are no underlying heart conditions, he will very likely be back next
year.
Yeah.
Next year he'll be on the field, and he should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great story.
He may wear like a flak jacket or something like quarterbacks wear sometimes after that.
One of those light ones, yeah.
Just out of
precaution.
An abundance of precaution, but even then it won't even be necessary. And you know, I hope that somebody's talking to the players in the NFL as well about this.
Yeah, we'll see how this all shakes out. I mean, again, the stat that I read was like 1 in 264 million a year it happens to. So,
well, think about how many hits there have been in contact sports between Chris Pronger and I believe that was 1998 and now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? 24 years later,
yeah,
almost 25 years later. There's been millions of hits,
millions.
Yeah,
you're seeing them every single week. I mean, I feel like every week, either in college or the NFL too, or in the NHL, you're seeing a hit where you're just like, oh fuck, I hope this person is going to live.
But that wasn't even a hit. Pronger, I mean.
Not another
human contacting him.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct. So, like, yeah.
How many times has that happened?
I know. Like, that's got to be in the perfect spot. The last time I can think of a Pronger sitch was that little leaguer who got hit with the line drive and died on the field, who got hit just right in the heart, the pitcher, and then died on the field. But
I'm not sure how long the T wave and a heartbeat actually lasts. I'm sure it depends on and you can go look at Dr. Mike Simpson's Instagram. He kind of broke it down a little bit. The T wave is towards the end of the heartbeat,
mm-hmm.
but it's got like your heartbeat in general, the thump thump, it lasts maybe half a second.
Less, probably.
So the T wave is going to be some fraction of a second.
You're at like perfect. A tenth of a second. It's got to be a perfect thing at the perfect time and moment and all that stuff. But good news all the way around. NFL wise, obviously, we've been off for a couple weeks here towards the end of the year. Still posted my picks in Drinking Bros Sports while we were gone. Did great. My only problem here that I've had the last few weeks, and this is my, I'm always honest with you guys gambling wise. Sometimes I'll get fixated on one lock of the week and then include them in all of my parlays, and it fucks me. The last 2 weeks have been like that for me. The week before, I was all over the Lions. The Lions have been on fire. They were playing Carolina. Carolina has suddenly shown some pulse for no reason whatsoever. I mean, maybe I guess it's Sam Durr trying to save his job or audition for other NFL teams next year, but I don't think he's going to be the quarterback there. Baker's already gone from that team. All of the backups on that team appear to be dog shit as well. So maybe he's just playing for the next contract for himself personally to be a backup somewhere else. I don't know, but I was shocked that the Lions lost against Carolina.
Well, it wasn't him. So Donta Foreman, which is a weird name.
That's the running back, yeah.
Yeah, from Texas, mm-hmm. Rushed for 165 yards. On 21 carries, so a 7.9 average. And then Chuba Hubbard, who I've never fucking heard of.
Oh, Chuba, yeah.
Rushed for 125 additional yards on 12 carries, a 10.4 yard average.
So I watched the game. There was no defense from the Lions, and they had no heart in that game. Mm-hmm. And it's strange because they've been in every single game this year. I know they started 1-6, but even in those games, they were mostly like one score games that were pretty fucking close. This one, they just got blown out in a couple weeks
ago. But yeah, the same thing happens over the course of the season to a defense that happens over the course of a game, right? More reps, you get exposed. That's why being able to run the ball effectively and limit the exposure of your defense is such a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's why you typically see a great running game with a great defense.
Right.
Because they complement one another. Now, Detroit does not have a great defense. You know what I mean?
Right.
They've got a decent defense. They have some really good pieces
they
on the defense.
They all play hard.
Yeah, but overall, it's not a great defense.
Yeah, that's not superstars.
And over time, you expect them to get exposed from time to time like
this.
Now, this matchup this week with the Packers is
monumental.
It's win and get in.
Yes.
For both teams.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the biggest game of the regular season as of right now.
And they moved it to the 8 o'clock game on Sunday night, which is fun because if Seattle loses, Green Bay is win and get in. Detroit needs Seattle to lose, which they very well could. We'll see if they decide on playing and what they're going to do with draft picks and all that other stuff, which is a danger, and we'll get to that in a second. But in the meantime, we'll go over last week's games, as always, at the top, and then go into this one's. Since I did bet these and put them up on Drinking Bros Sports, we'll start with the Cowboys-Titans. Look, we took the Cowboys, also dropped down that under in this one, parlay across the board, won this game, really wasn't that close here. What happens to Tennessee now? They're 7-9. Where do they go from here? I mean, Tannehill can't be the guy. They keep pulling him in and out the entire season long. Derrick Henry has decided to shut it down for the rest of the season. Now, whether that's him or the owners, I don't know, because he's got a huge contract.
Yeah.
I actually agree with the decision because I don't think Tennessee's good enough anyways. So you should shut down your best players. The Bears are shutting down Fields next week, even though he's got a shot at the NFL record. I'm fine with it, but where do they go? I mean, you've got a great back in Henry, but who else is left on that team? I think Vrabel's a good coach.
They can technically still make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They just got to play the Jags head-to-head. Whoever wins that game's in.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do then? Henry's out, right?
I don't know, but like, why would they shut down their player when they can make the playoffs?
Maybe he's really hurt then. Who knows?
He's not on the injury report.
So maybe he might play.
Yeah, he played Christmas Eve.
Okay.
126 yards on 23 carries. I mean, he had three consecutive 100-yard games, and they sat him last week.
Yeah, why did they sit him last week then? If you're in the playoff hunt, why are you sitting your best?
Because I think this is the game that matters. Like, winning last week wouldn't have done anything. As long as they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, they'll have the same record.
Oh, in the division.
Yeah,
okay, got it.
But they've lost six games in a row.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, my expectation is the Jaguars are going to light them up.
Same. I'm in for the Jaguars. Yeah. Cowboys won, and you know, they're 12-4. I love it just because it gets the Cowboys fans hyped up that they could win the Super Bowl, and it's going to be a colossal disappointment. Mm-hmm. And I'm there for it. Falcons, Cardinals. Why are we still winning games, dude? You go to 6-10. Why? Just keep diving, dude. Go for the top picks. It's the worst franchise in football.
It's going to determine if Arizona or Atlanta have the 4 or 5 pick versus the 8 or 9 pick.
Yeah,
basically. So I mean, maybe there's not a huge difference depending on who you're targeting, right? Like if you're looking at
why risk it?
If you're looking at
just lose,
like Breezy, the tackle from Clemson or something like that. If you're looking to shore up the offensive line, it doesn't matter because you can probably get him down there. Or if you're looking for, one of the other quarterbacks other than Bryce Young, you can probably get him down there.
Dump the entire next season for Caleb Williams here. I'm looking at this fucking thing, and if you're the Falcons, you should adopt the exact opposite motto of Art Davis. Just lose, baby. Just lose.
Well, just over the course of history, and from my experience, especially recently, it's worked better to draft the quarterback first, and then the next year draft the receiver that you want, right? So like Joe Burrow, and then
right.
I mean, granted, Cincinnati already had some decent receivers on that team. They had T. Higgins and a couple other guys, I think. Who was the other one that they had? I think he went away.
Oh, Tyler Boyd. No, he's still there. He's still there.
So they had Tyler Boyd.
He scored that first touchdown the other night.
But they waited until the next year. Well, they had to wait, but they took the quarterback first. And maybe it was a coincidence because Burrow was available and then Jamar Chase. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think that's how it's supposed to work. The quarterback is the guy that needs to come in and learn how to run the offense.
Well, Burrow went to management and said, look, I know we need offensive line, but you got to get me Jamar Chase. He's going to be
for
amazing.
Sure, yeah. I'm just saying, if you're thinking about, like, Atlanta needs everything.
Everything.
But
everything except the tight end. They've got a great tight end.
It's much more difficult to get a great quarterback than it is to get any other great position. Running backs are easy to find.
Yeah, yeah.
To get truly great generational offensive tackles. Usually that's, you want to take those up and high in the first round. But you know, there's no team that doesn't have a quarterback that's out there in the draft looking for great offensive tackles, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then the experiment with Desmond Ridder here for the Falcons has not worked. He's just as awful as we said he would be. He didn't even have a touchdown in three games.
Honestly, like, I think they, if Levis or
I would be fine with Levis or, if he's available.
Or Richardson are available, I think there's a good chance the Falcons take him.
I don't want Richardson. Richardson's too big of a risk at five or six.
But if they don't take either one of those guys, they should take Quentin Johnson. Then have the two best receiving options.
Oh yeah, if you have a draft. Well, because you would have Drake. Well, I'm sorry. Yes, you would have Drake London. You would have Kyle Pitts, and then you would have Quentin Johnson. That's a hell of a start.
And your boy's coming back from suspension next year as well.
Right? No. They traded him. They traded him to Jacksonville. Yeah. And so, like, dude,
Jacksonville's
going to be great next year. Yeah. I'm excited to see Jacksonville.
Anyways,
which I've never said in my entire life.
To your point with Atlanta and
Arizona
this week, it may depend on who they're targeting in the draft to whether or not they even give a shit about this game. It may not matter, is what I'm saying.
Well, they already played it. So the Falcons won 20-19 here. Again, we're going to go over last week's scores, and then we'll get to this one's. But
who's Atlanta play this week? Fuck, I just saw it. Shit, where'd it go? They play the Buccaneers. So the Buccaneers are in.
Yeah, they're in. They don't have to play for anything.
Right, but Atlanta's for sure out, right? So
lose. I don't care. Lose. Everybody, lose the game.
They should
fumble.
Everybody should fake fumble injuries.
Yes, all of it. All of the things. Next up was the Bears-Lions game. The Lions came back after looking like shit in Carolina, and then they rolled 41-10, and this is who I thought they would be. It was a week late. Won that game. Chiefs, look. Same thing with the Chiefs, man. Lazy as shit. Decided to come back and we'll play the fourth quarter.
Yeah, somebody in Drinker Bro Sports was whining that the Chiefs pegged him by not covering. I'm like, no, you pegged yourself.
Yes.
Because the Chiefs don't cover.
You always got to use the teaser on the Chiefs,
yeah,
dude.
They don't ever
every
cover.
Single time because they're too lazy. And if you look at Mahomes' numbers, again, taking him for granted every game, he was 29-42, 328 and three touchdowns. In a game, I mean, the title of the article is literally the sluggish Chiefs. Mm. They're not sluggish. They're just a lazy fucking team. If they decided to play, they would score 60 every fucking week.
They're 30 yards per game ahead of the next competitor and 45 ahead of the third place.
It's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
If they actually fucking decided to play, this team is so frustrating, and they're still 13-3. And I think they were 0-2 to start. So what are they, 12-1 in the last 13 games? I mean, it's just fucking insane with these guys. I do what you want, I guess. It's your fucking team, not mine. But I enjoy dominance, and I wish they would play like they should every single week. Because it's going to catch up to you in the playoffs. Burrow might get you.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins, Patriots, Tua concussion protocol. Does he ever play again?
He's had
three now this year.
Three concussions in one season. Two of which have, all three have knocked him out of the game, right?
I'm more optimistic on DeMar Hamlin's long-term health.
Well, yeah,
same here.
Honestly,
legitimately.
Yeah. One of the things we heard from Hamlin's doctors is that there's no expected neurological damage, which is what I said the day after, right? Because there's still, a lot of people don't understand this, but there's a lot of oxygen in your bloodstream right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if your heart stops, as long as somebody's giving you compressions, it's why compression-only CPR is more popular than giving breaths now. It's like, because you only get like 19% of the oxygen you normally would through a breath. But you have somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes of oxygen left in your bloodstream. They were immediately pumping his chest, and then they got the AED on him. I don't think he's going to suffer long-term from this. But anyways.
I don't think so either.
Anyways, Tua is.
Yeah.
Like, post-concussion syndrome is a real thing. And, what's it called? Second impact syndrome is also a real thing. Second impact syndrome can kill you. Like, I don't understand how he's even playing this year.
He should
after
not.
After that second hit, especially.
And I was thinking about this. If I'm Tua, I have a serious chat with my doctors in the offseason because they're shutting him down. Dolphins are out of it. I have a serious chat with my doctors in the offseason, and I say, all right, I think... To me, the knock on Tua was that he would never be an NFL quarterback. I think he proved him wrong this year. I sue the Dolphins. I sue the NFL. And I walk away with living life, actually living life. Because if he gets hit again like this next year, Holy fucking shit, man.
Well, I mean, one of the things that he might want to look into in the offseason is learning how to fall, right? And I'm not kidding about that. Maybe go learn how to skateboard, because I don't, have you seen the way he falls when he gets tackled?
Yeah.
He falls in a straight line all the way back, and with his, so one of the things you learn in airborne school is to tuck your chin into your chest, mm-hmm. right? Keep your feet and knees together, tuck your chin into your chest. Keeps you from getting whiplash or bouncing your head off the ground.
Right.
Because most, I don't know about most people, but for a big dummy like me, I go feet as, you're supposed to hit 5 points of contact. I go feet as head every single time. Like, I've never done a PLF properly once in my entire goddamn life. But if you keep your head tucked in like this, mostly you do round off. Like, you're multiple points of your body hit the ground before your head. For Tua, every single time he gets tackled unawares, he goes ass head. Mm-hmm. There's no shoulder. His shoulders don't hit the ground. It's ass head. He doesn't know how to fall properly.
Right.
You remember Daryl Strawberry in the fucking early, or in the late 80s, started taking ballet classes because he kept getting lower body injuries?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
To build his core strength and shit like that. Like, this isn't something that's crazy for athletes to do. If he intends to continue playing football, he needs to learn how to fall properly, or he's going to die. Like, literally die.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I wouldn't, but he will, I'm sure. Colts, Giants, nobody gives a shit about this. Giants reached the playoffs, though, for the first time since 2016. So the Giants fans, there you go, they care. The G-men, they care. When I said nobody gives a shit, the Colts, they're 4-11. Yeah. And what I've read here about the Colts is they're going after Stroud. So they'll have that pick right there. It's 3 or 4. They need a quarterback. When's the last time they drafted one? Andrew Luck?
I don't know, but I would take Levis over Stroud, and I would take, and I'd probably take Anderson or Anthony Richardson over Stroud as well, to be honest. I mean, that last game was pretty good.
But it's the average game for him.
Yeah, so, like, but the pocket presence is a problem for that guy.
Yeah, well, it's just his heart, in my opinion. Like, again, with that last game, it's identical to the numbers he always puts up, but, like, there isn't that guy who just wants to fucking, who's got the hunger of a Bryce Young. Like, I still go Bryce Young. Will Levis, just because of his body, I've got over him.
Bryce Young is going to the Texans at one.
The Richardson thing, man, I that's just too big of a gamble for me.
What does Bryce Young won?
What has he won?
Yeah, what has he won? He
won a national championship.
Bryce Young?
Yeah.
Well, it's a backup, right?
No, he was, he beat Ohio State.
No.
Tua. Freshman year?
Tua that was Mac.
That
was Mac Jones.
Mac Jones did that.
Yeah, you're right.
He was on the roster, but
who was? What did they do in 21?
Wasn't he a redshirt?
Oh, they lost to fucking Georgia in the finals.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go there with that. He beat Georgia badly that first game.
It's the style that he plays. Like, you can't.
And without Jameis Williams in the national championship, like,
I'm not making excuses for him. You still got to go out and win the game, but
you do. But I'm not gonna. That's not on him.
Going out and winning the national championship or going out and winning the Heisman also is not an indicator of pro success either. Baker Mayfield, for example.
And also,
And Johnny Football or whatever the fuck.
I just personally think Bryce Young is a fucking winner. And, like, there is a look in that guy's eyes. And when he decides to take off, I mean, you and I were at the Texas game, right? I thought that game was, pretty snoozy. And then it seemed like a Chiefs thing with him where it was like, all right, what is it, fourth down? Yeah, all right, let's take off and win the game.
Yeah.
And he ran. He doesn't really run that much, but he did. And even that was just effortless, where you're just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. Look what CJ did to literally put them into field goal range to get the game-winning field goal.
But CJ Stroud, though, running looked like a giraffe, a baby giraffe who was just using his legs for the first time.
I think it was that effective because they didn't really expect that to happen. They didn't expect... No, CJ Stroud doesn't really run for 27 yards.
It was like when Trevor Lawrence ran for the first time and you were like, oh, what the fuck is that? Like, yeah. It was effective and he did it.
But either way, like...
It wasn't sexy.
The way that Bryce Young operates in the pocket by feeling pressure on the outside from the edge rushers and then stepping up instead of panicking and running, or instead of throwing a bad pass, or instead of standing there and taking it, you will fucking step up 2-3 feet. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what professional quarterbacks do. You have to be able to do that in the league to be successful. And he does it now with some coaching. Maybe he gets better at it. Richardson also does it, but he's not had any success to speak of. Right. So that's a much bigger risk.
Do you like a 6-foot quarterback?
No,
I don't love it, but to be honest, Russell Wilson has been pretty good before this year. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I mean, he's been pretty good. He's won a lot of games and thrown a lot of touchdowns. And, They're,
Richardson, what? Richardson's like 5'11.
He's talking about Bryce Young.
Yeah, I'm talking about Bryce Young. Young's 6'1.
No, he's 6.
He's probably 6 foot, but CJ Stroud's Richardson's 6'4.
I've been on the field with him. I think he's a genuine 6'1. For real. Look, it's my team. It's my favorite team, and I would be okay with it. And I'm not okay with them drafting CJ Stroud.
No, I didn't realize he's a Philly guy, Bryce Young.
Look, it is the Falcons are my favorite NFL team, and I'm telling you this as a fan. I would be okay with them drafting Bryce Young, not CJ Stroud. For real. That's just my personal opinion.
Drew Brees is like 5'9". I mean, look, you got to have the right kind of skill to be able to do it, sure, but having pocket awareness is one of the most important things, and then being able to read the defensive tackles and linebackers and not get balls batted down all the time is the second one. We don't know if he's good at that yet.
Right. And I think, and again, with the Falcons, with being this high, because they're going to have a shot at one of these guys probably, it's... For me, if Bryce Young somehow gets passed by and it's Will Levis or vice versa, and he's there, if Will Levis is there, I'm fine with that too. Those are the only two quarterbacks in this draft that are worth a pick in the top 10, in my opinion.
Okay.
Richardson's too much of a project. I don't know what he can actually do. I think there's a lot of talent with that guy. But
yeah, I think a good team that had a bad season this year, I would say the Rams, but they don't have any draft picks. But somebody like that already has a quarterback that's going to be there for another couple of years, mm-hmm. might take – that would be a good pick, Richardson.
I have some breaking sports news, by the way.
What do we got?
Chris Beard fired from Texas.
Mm. Oh, the UT's, Texas coach.
UT's basketball coach fired.
Sure is.
He's going to go.
Well, we knew that.
He's going to go work
for Fish.
I think he's going to go work for the UFC now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Him and Dana.
It's going to be Dana's assistant.
Him and Dana.
You choker, now slap your motherfucker. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Guess, that's a great job, though.
Can I make a bold prediction?
Yeah, who gets it? Who gets the job?
Oh, I'm not about Texas. But the best quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, go ahead.
And he won't be drafted until about the 6th round.
Yeah.
Jake Haner from Fresno.
I haven't seen enough. You know me. I don't watch those games, so I haven't seen enough. I don't know anything about the kid, so I can't say it. What?
No, man, come on.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
He's good.
Trey Lance is good too. He hasn't played a fucking game.
I'm not even going to pretend to know anything about Fresno fucking State. Chet,
tell me how good Chet Holmgren's going to be this year too.
Where I think,
Allen play for Wyoming.
Yeah, but I actually saw. I did see those games with Josh Allen, and I said on the show
USC
that I liked him.
And was Fresno was in the game against USC until he got hurt.
Yeah, Fresno
was
pretty.
It was Alex Grinch still their defensive coordinator during that game for USC.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone, I would put you up against Alex Grinch on any team. You could throw for 500 yards against that guy. He's the worst defensive coordinator in the history of man. But real quick here to wrap it up with CJ Stroud, I think his best fit would be as a game manager on a team like a San Francisco or a Philly or somebody like that. I think where you don't need him to win and have 400 yards and all that stuff.
So you think he kind of projects as like an Alex Smith type, because Alex Smith slung it in college.
Yep.
Yeah,
Alex
he
Smith
did
put up big numbers.
And then
then
he came in and averaged 215 yards a game, but won 10 games every fucking year.
And I think that's CJ Stroud, and I think that's a great example. I'm not completely shitting on him. I just think that it's not bad.
But
you need a team to be willing to do it. Like Philly this year, but here's the thing. They were willing to change the entire offense to suit the quarterback,
which you should do,
right? Yeah, but that's the problem is NFL teams don't do it very often. I mean, besides Jalen Hurts, when is the last time one of these fucking teams built their entire offense around the guy that they drafted
Justin
in the first
Fields,
round?
They're working on it with Justin Fields. KC did it, but I mean, how much did you really need? It's like, some dude comes in and is like, it's Thor. It's like, oh, you can throw lightning? Yeah, throw lightning.
You know what I mean? And even then, you still had to get Andy Reid to come in and coach that team and allow it to happen.
Right, he was already there.
People forget, people are not sold on Pat Mahomes out of college.
No. I mean, he wasn't all that great.
But he wasn't all that great in college.
He was a
Cliff Kingsbury problem.
Yeah, really. It was a high risk, high reward situation for him at Texas Tech. He threw a lot of picks,
and he was great. He put up numbers, but they're like, oh, another Texas Tech quarterback putting up numbers,
right?
Going 6-6.
I honestly thought he was going to be like Jameis Winston in the NFL, and it turns out he's not. Right? I mean, he's That's why, even though Caleb Williams is only fucking 6 feet tall, I think he might have a good NFL career.
Fuck yeah.
Just like, but you got to end up in the right spot, like you said, with a guy that's going to fucking, I guess, be malleable. Like, hey, this works. You got to get that guy outside the pocket for him to have a lot of success. One.
Yeah. Right?
And that's not a hard thing to do.
No.
These days in the NFL, it's not a hard thing to do.
It's not. And, you know, look, there's poor decisions made in the NFL all the time, but, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing building around a quarterback. It's just the fans and the team itself never wants to do it, right? They just want the guy to come in and be the next Pat Mahomes or be the next fucking dude.
And that's why Tennessee will probably be the team that drafts Richardson, right? And that'll probably fuck up any chance he has of ever being successful.
But do you think they will after going through this Malik Willis
experience? Yeah, it'll either be them or Carolina that takes him, I guarantee you.
Because he goes first round, right?
Yep.
He'll go first
round. I wouldn't personally, like, if it's my team, I don't want to deal anything with that in the first round. But somebody will do it, and it's going to be a project, and it's going to be real hit or miss.
It's either going to be one of those two teams I just mentioned, or it'll be the fucking Redskins.
I was just going to say
it'll be a team that has a lot of pieces that's like, oh, well, let's take a chance. And honestly, if you are a team like that that has a lot of pieces, not that Carolina does, but the other two teams do have a lot of pieces. If the Redskins draft, I mean, he comes in and he's good. If he can get the ball to Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson and those guys, then that's a fucking playoff team immediately.
Well, and the interesting
all thing they need a guy is that can see over the offense. Like, I love Taylor Heineke; he's just too small.
Yeah,
they don't run. They don't run an offense that allows him to get outside the pocket.
Got to see how Sam Howell does this weekend.
Oh, God.
Come on, man.
Is he starting this weekend?
Starting this weekend.
Gross.
Well, I mean, look, the Redskins are only going to have one quarterback on their roster after this upcoming game.
And they might not have
a coach. Because they're going to cut. No, Rivera's going to get fired next week. I don't know this for sure. I haven't heard from anybody at the team or anything. I want to make that clear. But I think he's fired next week. I think next week Wentz is cut. And I seriously doubt Heineke's going to get re-signed, because we'll see after the draft. But he's a solid backup quarterback, and some team is going to pay him like $8 million a year to be their backup.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And it's not going to be the fucking Redskins.
No,
you know
no.
What I mean?
I don't think so either.
They don't spend that kind of money on backups. So.
Next game up here was, so this was the game that I went all in on, and it fucked me on all my teasers. It was Philly. I've rid Philly all 16 games. I've been on them every single week, all 16 games. The Saints had something to play for, I guess. Like, it was strange that Marshawn Lattimore came back for this game. I know he's the heart and soul of their defense, and he had a fucking great game. But they're 7-9. What were they hoping for? I guess the Buccaneers, that they would lose.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So this makes sense. So look, this is the formula to beat Philly. I actually watched this entire game.
Well, the formula to beat Philly is to not have Jalen Hurts on the field.
But no, hang on. But the same thing happened with the Commanders game. So the first drive for the Saints in this game was 9 minutes and 3 seconds. I watched it and I couldn't fucking believe it. Again, I had so much fucking money on this game. That was the exact same thing the Commanders did. And it was just like, dude, to sit until minute 6 in the first quarter and then just get the ball. The Eagles were 3 and out on that. It just fucking sucks. The way to beat the Eagles is just to chew up the clock, which the 49ers will certainly fucking do. Well, now
that's the way to beat any team that has a great offense, is to keep their offense off the field.
And that's what this is. Now, I think if you're the Eagles, because I think it's down to the Eagles and the 49ers to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC. If you're the Eagles, and we'll skip ahead to this 49ers game, this Raiders game against the 49ers, because I watched all of this as well, is the way to beat the 49ers. Play the Ohio State Georgia method, where if you're going against a great defense, have an even better offense. Stidham, just let him sling all fucking game. Stidham came in, slung the whole fucking game, 365, 3 touchdowns. Exhaust the defense, put up a ton of points, and give yourself a chance to win. And I think if the Eagles play like that, up tempo the entire time, just keep slinging your best wide receivers and all that shit, that's the way to beat the 49ers. If they slow you down, they're going to fuck you and catch you. What I was shocked about this 49ers game is that they actually came back, and they had to come back, with Brock Purdy, who fucking sucks, and they were able to pull this out in overtime. I mean, it was fucking shocking that they were able to do this with a kid who's only played, what, 4 games now?
Yeah.
But I think those are the two teams that we see in the NFC Championship. I think the seedings will probably shake out like that over the weekend. Philly's going to beat the Giants. The Giants don't have to play at all because they're already locked in at six. 49ers are going to try to play for home field just in case.
Yeah.
We'll see if it's an afternoon game. I mean, if it's an afternoon game, then they're going to sit everybody out.
Philly definitely wants to get the first seed for a number of reasons, not the least of which is getting Lane Johnson back on the right side of their offensive line.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because he's one of the best offensive linemen in all of football to begin with. And now the guy, Delco, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the guy they brought in to replace him is a rookie, right? And he's not very good.
He sucks.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to see. Hopefully Hurts comes back. I watched the presser yesterday with the coach of the Eagles. What's his name? Sirianni? Mm.
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah. So I watched that. He was vague again where he goes, well, you know, he's getting better day by day, which doesn't seem to indicate that he is going to play this weekend.
Well, if Minshew can't beat the fucking Giants this week.
Minshew had 275 in this game and another TD. I mean,
how many wins?
Gardner Minshew is not a good NFL quarterback. He's not even a good backup.
Look, I'll take him on the Falcons. He's averaging 315 yards passing in two games. So what more can you ask for out of a backup quarterback at that point?
To win the game.
I guess.
He's not good.
I guess, dude. I'll take him. I would love to have him. Give me 315 every week. On the Falcons, I'm in. I'm all in. We haven't even seen 200.
Stats don't always tell the story.
Yeah, 315 with a completion percentage of 56% or 58%. That's not going to cut it, man.
It isn't, but he hasn't played in 2 years either. So, like, what do you do there? I mean,
Hurts should be playing this weekend.
Devontae Smith had fucking. This is the way that she'd use Devontae Smith too. 9 receptions, 115 yards. Like, that's the dude in the slot. Homeboy going yard for the touchdown that I saw. AJ Brown. That's what you should be doing. It's just the time. What was the time of possession in this game? But it's because it seemed like New Orleans always had the fucking ball in this goddamn game. And again, I wouldn't be so pissed off about it if I wouldn't lost so much money on this.
You know, and none of these stats individually tell the whole story, but when you have a low completion percentage, like you just said it, that first quarter where New Orleans.
They had two plays in the first quarter.
Yeah, New Orleans runs
the Eagles, or yeah, three plays.
New Orleans runs down the field, chews up a bunch of clock, and then immediately Gardner Minshew comes in, and it's three and out because he can't complete passes at a high percentage. That's the fucking problem, right?
Well, they had two rushes and one pass in the first quarter, and that was it.
That doesn't matter.
I mean, you
have to be able to, if you run this kind of team, you have to be able to convert on third down. And Gardner Minshew is a guy that under no stress can do some things and put up 300 yards sometimes, but under stress, he's not the guy that's getting it done.
The time of possession this game is the highest I've ever seen in my life.
37 to 22.
37 minutes for the Saints and 22 minutes for the Eagles. If you're not getting any possessions, worse. Dude, that's 21 minutes. I'm sorry, 23 minutes. So what are you averaging there?
He threw the ball 40 and 32 times in those two losses.
You're averaging 5 minutes and 55 seconds a quarter.
You got to go back to the Chip Kelly era for the Eagles. You see much worse.
The reason they're not getting a bunch of fucking plays is because they're getting three and outs because Gardner Minshew can't convert on third down.
Did Minshew throw a pick six?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. You know who was two? Marshawn Lattimore, too.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So, really? By the way, this isn't even... You can't even really blame the defense for this. Philly's defense only gave up 14 points.
Or
13 points.
I think Philly's bigger problem long-term, and this is for the championship here, is that Miles Sanders... So, let's say you don't believe in Minshew, right? And that's fine. Why is your running back only getting 12 carries for a game?
Because Gardner Minshew can't convert on third down. That's why. You run the ball on first and second down. And if you're third and short or even third and long and you don't convert on third down, there are no more run plays in that drive because the drive's over. That's why.
But he had 12 carries in this game. Like, that's
your
dude.
Yeah, I just told you why.
But I get it. Like, but even your top receivers, like...
He had 12 carries with a 5.1 average.
Look.
It wasn't because he wasn't doing well.
Devonta Smith, 115 yards. A.J. Brown, 100 yards receiving. Those are your stars. Your third guy is Dallas Goedert. Those are your stars. Like... That's who you're going to, but you can't have 61 yards rushing in an NFL game and win.
Yeah, you can't rush the ball though if you can't convert on third down through the air. You can't. Like, the numbers don't work out that way.
What were they on third downs in this game?
I haven't looked, but I'm guessing not great.
We'll find out here. Oops. Just out of curiosity, because these are it's going to be the 49ers and
they were 3 for 12 on first down, on third down.
On third down,
that's really bad.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. But yeah, these are going to be the teams. So look, if you slow down the Eagles, chew up this time of possession, you're going to win. If you're the Eagles, I think you've got to go yard every fucking game like Ohio State did and beat that 49ers defense or you're out.
It doesn't. I agree with that. I don't think it benefits them to come out and try to play a quote unquote smart game against the 49ers.
You can't. Like you got to air it the fuck out.
You've got, particularly if it's the NFC Championship game and you're fucking starting offensive tackles back and you've got what is. I am pretty sure that the Eagles have had the best offensive line in football all year up until this past couple of weeks with him out. So, yeah, I mean, you just fucking dare them to stack the box on the run game and throw over their heads.
Yeah.
What the fuck are they going to do? I think some designed run plays for Jalen Hurts isn't a terrible idea either, to be honest, just to keep them on their toes. But, yeah, you got to be super aggressive against this team. You can't just fucking dink and doink and expect to beat the 49ers. They'll eat you alive.
No, and I mean, this fucking defense, this team is gross. Imagine if they had a quarterback there in 49ers. I mean, it's just crazy, dude.
You might have Lamar Jackson next year or Tom Brady.
Well,
a lot of rumors about that, too.
That's a perfect fit. It's a nice little game manager at 46 years old. Yeah, man, who knows?
Don't they have that right now?
And Brock Purdy?
Yeah. He's doing well. You can't complain about his performance.
You can't. I mean, he's got a QB. If he
does what Alex Smith did in Kansas City, but he does it here, instead of winning 10 games a year, they win 12 or 13 games a year because of how great this defense is. So,
who do you like going this real quick here before we go to next week's schedule? Who do you have in the Super Bowl? Two teams.
I mean,
if you were to pick today,
if everybody's healthy, I don't know that anybody can beat Philly in the NFC, to be honest. Right.
I've got the 49ers coming out of the NFC. Who do you got in the AFC?
You know, I'm kind of getting one of those win one for the Gipper kind of feelings from Buffalo right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of people are saying
like
that.
But it's hard to bet against Kansas City or Cincinnati, to be honest.
I mean, who gets home field in the on the AFC?
Well, if Kansas City wins this week, and they don't replay this game with the Bills and Bengals in Kansas City.
Whew.
But if the Bills win this week and they replay the Bengals game and they win that game as well, then they have the tiebreaker and they're the number one seed. So choosing not to play this game, make up this game, affects both the Bills and the Bengals, because if the Bengals win that game, then they're the number two seed and the Bills are the number three seed. So there are implications game. And, you know, to be honest, for Joe Burrow is a good dude. To his credit, he's a professional young man. I really like that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
He's when asked about it, he was like, "We'll do whatever the Bills want to do.
Yep,
we don't care about the seed."
Yeah,
and to be honest, it's very hard for me to bet against Joe Burrow, just in principle. Because think about
would you want to play in Buffalo though?
Think about the level of competition, like the level of talent rather on Buffalo on both sides of the ball, and then in Kansas City, who's improved their defense greatly on both sides of the ball, and Joe Burrow eats those two teams up.
Yep.
Just because fuck you, right?
Right. But, now he would have to do it in KC or in Buffalo. And I mean, dude,
That's what he did last year.
But well, I don't think we've seen a playoff game in Buffalo, because you and I have talked about it for years. That if they had home field advantage and we were able to go to one of these fucking things, it would be the greatest party of all time, right? I don't give a shit if it's 19 below. It'd be a blast.
But they went to Kansas City, which is one of the toughest road games in the NFL in the playoffs, and beat what everybody thought was the best team in the NFL.
But could they do it in Buffalo?
Fuck yeah, they could do it in Buffalo. Joe Burrow could do it anywhere. I don't think that dude gives a shit. You could play the game on the surface of the sun, that motherfucker's going to throw for 300.
He's from Ohio, so it's not like the weather's going to affect him. Like, he played in that all through high school. Like,
I don't think anything affects him, to be honest. Like, there's no indication that anything affects him in these big moments.
Also, is the weather going to be that much different in Cincinnati?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, there's going to be.
Or KC, for that matter.
To be honest.
That was the coldest game I've ever been to in my life.
To be honest, in KC and in Cincinnati, there might be more wind. You know what I mean? Instead of like Buffalo, you're definitely going to be probably colder, more snow, but you might get more wind in that tunnel, in that jet stream in the center of the country right there. So it's going to suck either way. I don't want to do it. I don't even want to be out there to watch the game. No. I really enjoy having my fucking gas logs, my fireplace going. Like, man, sure does look cold out there. Sip.
If also, it's in like, Buffalo, though, shit. I'm in. I'm
you,
in.
You know what's better than watching the game at the stadium, too? On TV.
Yeah, not see everything. That's what I'm saying. Not freezing to fucking death and having the broadcast.
I would love to see, if it was Buffalo, to go to the Super Bowl.
I would. Yeah,
that would be a fucking blast.
I would love to go to the tailgate and then go back to my hotel and watch the game. And the fucking drink whiskey and watch the game.
No, I just want to see what it's like in that stadium there. I've never been to the Super Bowl, but imagine if they won and went. Because you and I, we've been to so many of this shit. When they, whoever the home team is that we go to and they lose, it's a fucking funeral. Yeah, and you're just like, God damn it.
But you would never get out of that place. Like you would?
Would you want
you'd
to?
Be there for 2 weeks until the Super Bowl? Probably.
Let's go, dude. Let's go.
If it happens, we'll probably go.
Gun to head. If it like right now, and they said, "Hey, you got to pick the Super Bowl teams," I would say 49ers Chiefs,
probably.
And then even then, that would be a blast. Like Mahomes and that offense against the best defense, that would be a blast of a game.
I honestly don't think the 49ers can beat the Chiefs. For the reasons you've mentioned, because it's a bad matchup, and the Chiefs' offense is fucking crazy.
I know.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's that if overpowering their defense with great offense and just slinging it is the way to do it. Who does that better than Patrick Mahomes?
I know,
and Andy Reid specifically. It's not even Patrick Mahomes.
I'm looking at the stats here because it's one of the first games of the week. But he has 5,048 yards and 40 touchdowns. He's going to win the MVP, and it's not close. But
what do you think Joe Burrow would be doing if he was in Kansas City under Andy Reid? A guy that actually does play hard every single game. Not that Patrick Mahomes doesn't play hard, but like it seems like they know how good they are.
What is it? What's with the culture there with the Chiefs? Like, what is it?
It's playing the game on fucking easy mode.
I think really they just like, I mean, I was watching the game against the Broncos and like they had a couple of just bizarre like turnovers or bad possessions in the red zone because they were kind of just like YOLOing. Like,
it's for no reason. Yeah. Where you're just like, why are you doing this?
It serves a purpose. I think Andy, especially during the regular season when they know they're just kind of on cruise control, they try things. They test things out and it's just like, we're going to need this in the playoffs. Let's see if this works.
Maybe. Either way.
And the Chiefs' record on the road in the playoffs, by the way, is still pretty good.
Yeah, they're 6-2 away right now. I mean,
in the regular season, too, but I'm just saying they don't give a fuck about home field. It's good for ticket sales, I guess.
It is. And like their fans are great.
And Mahomes
that's the loudest stadium I've been in the NFL.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Bills fans, I've not been to your stadium, so I don't know.
Bills Stadium is not built to contain the noise the same way that Kansas City's is. So I don't think they could get as loud, technically. But yeah, I'm sure they're
– yeah.
Look, you're comparing.
So I'm saying that without having gone to a Bills game. So forgive me, Bills fans. Real quick, we are brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Tons of games to bet on this weekend. You know, Daddy's going to get his fucking beak wet with all of these goddamn things because we get a couple Saturday games this week, which is fucking awesome. I love the last few weeks of the NFL season when they get these Saturday games in. Huge fan. Get off the couch and get into the action today with MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit up to $1,000. And if you're a fan and want to go to any of these games, go to DrinkingBrosTickets.com. We're about $10 cheaper than StubHub. And it's just a service on the back end. You're able to do it and knock off the $10. So we did. You can go to any of these games. Man, these Raiders tickets are always expensive. I'm looking at the Raiders tickets right now. Let's get to this week's games here. First up on Saturday is Chiefs Raiders. Now, they have to, since this is on Saturday, I guess I answered my own question from earlier. The Chiefs will have to play this game because they're not going to know who's going to win or lose.
This is their biggest rival as well.
Yeah.
So they're not going to not play this game, I don't think.
No, but the spread is very high. And Stidham looked very good last week. This is Chiefs -9.5.
Just relax. All right. It happens a lot when quarterbacks that haven't played in a while come out in the first week, like Baker Mayfield, for example, and have a lot of success. And then week two rolls around where the team's had a little while to prep for you specifically.
A little game footage.
Yes. This is not going to be the same. Although I do expect Devontae Adams to show up. He'll probably have 100, 120 yards and two tutties again.
He's so... All right, Devontae Adams needs five receptions for 100, mm-hmm. so I think they're going to get that.
Yeah.
He's only 57 yards away from 1,500 yards. So, yeah, I think they get that. He said he wants to come back. By the way, the other rumor that they keep reporting on is Tom Brady makes too much sense with the Raiders. I forgot McDaniels is their coach. So
yeah,
like,
but McDaniels, if McDaniels can deliver Tom Brady to the team, maybe he keeps his job. But that's the only fucking way.
They're not going to fire him after 1 year. He'll be back.
He's a fucking terrible
coach. I agree, but they're going to keep him. You can't fire year one.
Well, no, but if he brings in Tom Brady, he's there as long as Tom's there.
Yes, right? Yes. So
Which is interesting.
Look, they have the team.
Yeah.
They've got Josh Jacobs. They got Devontae Adams. They got Waller. They have talent on this team. Mm-hmm. They're just missing a quarterback. It would make sense. But 9.5 is a lot of fucking points for me in this one. I think especially for the Chiefs, because they never cover the fucking spread. I'm going to jack this up as high as it'll go, because I always do this on the Saturday games or the Thursday games, whatever, substitute it. I'll jack this up to minus 16.5, and I'm going to take this over-under down to 45.5 and take the over in this game because it's 52.5.
Right, I'm just taking the Raiders plus 9. I don't think the Chiefs are going to cover because they probably never fucking do.
Probably not.
Especially in a game like the Raiders. Stidham is fighting to get a look next spring.
Yep.
Or next.
He's going to play hard. Yeah.
And Devontae Adams wants to fucking add to his resume from this year.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a close game.
And I think he's one of these guys that's got a bunch of bonuses in his contract. I know probably. He got a massive contract anyways, but like, I think to make the Pro Bowl, he's still got like an extra $250,000 or $500,000. Like, that still matters.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's actually, I think they play hard. I think the Raiders play hard.
I'll find it and post it in the Drinker Bro Sports group, but there's a guy on Twitter who does breakdowns of sports contracts, and mm-hmm. it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
just like how much more money they would have made because of taxes in one place or another, all the benefits, the trade stuff, and how all the money works. He's really smart. I'll post it. I can't remember his name right now, but I'll post it. But yeah, this is probably a 5-point game, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Chiefs win.
Next up is another great game here, Titans versus Jaguars. I was unaware that the Titans still had a shot at anything here.
I'm not sure I would call this a great game.
Well, it's great that there's something on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A playoff berth is on the line for either of these teams, and I'm in. This is the highest I've ever seen Jaguars tickets. This is $127 for the last
one. This will be the first time they've been in the playoffs with a legit shot in a while. They're on a long winning streak. Trevor Lawrence has finally turned it around. And by the way, even with Tannehill, the last time they played, they fucking whipped Tennessee by 14 points in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Right? This is a big game. This is not only to get into the playoffs, but this is a statement game for Jacksonville that, hey, we're at the next level now. And Lawrence has not backed down from those challenges so far this year. So I think they're going to fucking win this relatively easily.
Over-under is 40, by the way, in this game. You do anything with that?
No, because I don't know that Jacksonville scores that much. They've, okay. they've been having a lot of trouble. Or I'm sorry that the Tennessee scores that much.
Yeah.
But 6.5 is too many points. That's too much, right?
Yeah.
I don't know yet what I'm going to do with this.
I'll do a huge Saturday teaser for this game, but I'm taking Jacksonville as well. Peterson's a great coach, man. I don't know why the Eagles ever fired him, but clearly that's all Lawrence needed was a good coach. And fucking Christian Kirk, man, is over 1,000 yards. I was unaware of that.
Yeah, I mean, but he's a number two or three guy, right?
Well, they're going to have Ridley next year, yeah. So shit. I mean,
they'll have Calvin Ridley. Christian Kirk is still under contract. And
ATN has had a great year.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. And I, you know, my expectation, if I'm the Jaguars, I'm doing whatever I got to do to get Quentin Johnson on this team or somebody, another number one receiver, you know, number one receiver. Calvin Ridley's not a number one receiver either.
But the Jaguars are going to be in the playoffs. They're too high in the draft.
No, they've got a trade pick.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. I think they're going to have like I think it's the 9th pick or some shit. I don't remember.
Shit.
Let me look.
Yeah. Pull it up real quick. I'd be curious to see where they're at if.
Oh no, they're at 21 right now. So yeah. They would have to trade up, but I would do it. I would trade up for to get a great wide receiver, unless there's another one down the list there that they can grab.
Or there's a free agent. We'll see. Either way,
I guess Jordan Addison's down there. He's probably going to be in the bottom part of the first round.
He's not bad.
And then Njigba too, but I wouldn't take a chance on him.
Well, just because he's a fucking quitter.
Jalen Hyatt also is in the bottom part of the first round.
Jalen Hyatt's a burner, dude. No. He actually won the Biletnikoff Award this year, which is shocking.
after missing the last two games of the season, even.
No. Hooker, he played.
He just sat out the last one. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He sat out the last
one. But those don't count towards the award season. No. Anyways, Jacksonville minus 6.5. That's too much.
You take this at a pick'em game?
I'll take... Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be a nasty game. Tennessee will muck this up and make it ugly.
I might take Tennessee plus 6.5.
Or do you jack this up to 13.5 and take Tennessee?
I don't know. This is the last week of the season. I'm doing straight bets only. No teasers.
No teasers for you, huh?
Just to see how it goes.
All right. For me, I love the fucking teasers, obviously. God, Derrick Henry, too, man. He always plays well the last week of the fucking year. And he's going to start. He's got 1,400 yards this year and 13 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't feel like it, does it?
Well, he's
you
doing
just look
it.
Look up and you're like, oh, there you are. He's great again.
Doing it in a vacuum for a shitty team.
God damn, it's weird. It's weird. This guy's great. He's worth the money. He was worth the contract. Mm-hmm. One of few running backs that is. next up, we got the Buccaneers and the Falcons. Buccaneers don't have to play this game. Falcons shouldn't play this game. And it's -4 for the Falcons, and that's why. Buccaneers can take the week off, rest their starters, and get ready. Brady, 4,600 yards on the year.
Mm-hmm.
Guy can still sling it. Just get ready because the fucking Bucks are going to lose, and we can have an under 500 Bucks team win the Super Bowl.
Under 500 Bucks team and an under 500 Patriots team meet in the Super Bowl.
Let's go.
How fucking fun would that
and
be?
There is a chance this weekend that the Cowboys play at the Buccaneers week one. Mm. And if the Cowboys lose week one to Tom Brady, I don't think you could stop me from jacking off that entire day.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the best value, though, and I've already put it in on mybookie.com.
Yes.
The Packers.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll get to that. We'll get to it.
But to win the NFC?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the NFC, not to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
15-1?
14-1 on
mybookie. Yeah. Okay.
That's a good deal.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Speaking of...
if you're looking for value deals, for sure.
Speaking of the Buccaneers, do you know who has the longest stretch of 1,000-yard receiving seasons in history?
Jerry Rice.
Mike Evans.
Really?
Yeah. 9 in a row. To start a career.
Oh, to start a career. Okay. Shit, dude.
9 in a row.
Yeah. And he's got 1,100 yards right now.
He's going to continue it. Like,
fuck.
He benefited from having Jameis Winston there. Because even when they sucked, he was still getting like fucking 1,400 yards because that's all they could do. But
chuck it up
still, consistency.
Yeah,
even through some injury problems the last couple years, he's still done it.
Yeah, and he's only got 77 receptions. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's got 120 and he's putting up these yards. It's crazy. But don't touch this game. The Falcons have nothing to play for. They shouldn't. Buccaneers have nothing to play for. This is a preseason game. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't bet this. Tickets are 30 bucks.
Chances are the Falcons will fuck up and win this game. I mean, they're favored. They're -4 right now.
I know. For no reason. And then fuck up a draft pick. They'll go deeper in the draft. Way to go.
They should punt on every first down.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't legally stop me from doing this.
No. So,
punt.
Just do it. Punt on every down.
Or just get safeties. Run. Immediately just turn around and run. Line up backwards.
I tell Ritter to throw a pick six.
Yeah.
Every single
time. It's like, just hand the ball to the nearest other. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. Next up, we got the Patriots at the Bills. This is Bills -7 at home. What are the playoff implications here? Can the Patriots actually do anything, Bob? Can they make the playoffs at all, like a wild card? They're 8-8. It would be 9-8 if they won this game somehow.
The Patriots
they are officially in the hunt.
Are in the hunt, yeah.
Okay.
Get the fuck out of here.
Look, the Bills are playing for home field advantage.
Let's see. If the Patriots...
I can't, man.
I was going to say,
do they sit it out if Casey wins the day before? But what do you do with that Cincy game?
Right now, the Patriots are in the 7th playoff position.
If the playoffs ended... So they just need to win, I guess.
If they win this game, or if they lose and Pittsburgh loses...
And Miami loses.
New England wins the tiebreaker over both of them. So... New England is win and you're in because they have the tiebreaker over both teams.
Okay.
Or if they lose and Miami and Pittsburgh lose, they're still in.
I don't care about that because I think with the Bills and with Hamlin being awake and all that stuff today, I think the Bills win this game. It doesn't really matter. They're going to win and their fans are going to be there. The team is going to be there. This is a big moment.
It can go two ways. I mean, it's been a rough week for them, so I don't know if that affects their energy on the field. But then there's also, like, even Like Stephon Diggs was yelling at the team on the sideline when they thought they were getting ready to go play again. So he was, he's the leader that he and Josh Allen are the leaders of those, are the leaders of that team. If he comes out with that kind of energy, man, I don't know. I'm going to wait until warmups to make this bet. I'm going to watch it. And if they're all pumped, hyped up like that, I'm taking Buffalo straight up at -7, and I'm taking the fucking over 42.5
Yeah,
as well.
Same. I think Buffalo,
they'll show up.
I did too, man. It's too big of a moment, and I think Buffalo destroys them. And they put this is a statement game, not only for their team going forward in the playoffs, but from what happened last week. And I'm Buffalo all the way, all the things that you said. -7, 42.5 all of it.
You don't necessarily, like, I would rather run into the Dolphins or the Steelers in the playoffs than the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So knock them out.
Yeah, knock them out. Get them out of there.
Don't have to worry about it.
I agree. Next up, you got the Vikings at the Bears. Now, this spread is misleading. It's Minnesota -7.5 It is because they're benching Fields for this game. Mm-hmm. Now, Fields was 64 yards away from breaking the rushing single season record for quarterbacks against Lamar Jackson. I don't know that that's a distinction you necessarily want, to be honest with you. So people are like, oh, man, how can you not let him go for the record? Well, you want to save your franchise quarterback. And do you really give a shit about being the rushing leader as a quarterback? Yeah. Probably not.
And, you know, to be honest, I'm not sure if I believe the 7.5 anyways, because the Vikings don't have much to play for. If they win and San Francisco loses, technically, I think they will have, let's see, sorry about this. No, they have the tiebreaker over Minnesota anyway. So, because of win percentage in conference games already, there's nothing.
But Fields is the entire Bears team.
Yeah,
there's just no way.
Yeah,
I didn't even know who's the backup. Backup to Fields?
I just don't know that you even bet this game because I'm not sure how much Kirk Cousins plays or Dalvin Cook.
Is it our man Nathan Peterman?
It is. Oh, you're right. Yes, Peterman is starting. You're correct. He is starting.
How the fuck is he still in the league?
I don't know. But he's starting this game.
Because he fucking...
I read that this morning.
He fucking wins, bro.
So, yes, it is Peterman. Now, with the Vikings, I don't really care about betting on the Vikings ever again my entire life.
Yeah, I know. But even just, like, if you hadn't been, like, routinely, anally raped by these guys, it doesn't make a lot of sense to bet this game because chances are the starters for Minnesota don't play either. So even if they win the game, the 49ers are playing the Cardinals.
Right.
And they're a 14-point favorite.
Yeah.
So if you both win your games, then they have the tiebreaker already. They're up 7 games on you in the tiebreaker. There's nothing you can do about that.
No.
So
next up is Bengals-Ravens. This is Bengals -7.
I'll take this all day.
Same. Is Lamar Jackson playing or is he out?
Nobody knows. And John Harbaugh's statements about it, he goes, I don't even want to talk about that, more or less, is what he said.
Okay. So he's out.
Yeah.
I think he's sitting. Is he sitting out intentionally now?
If I were him, I wouldn't step on that fucking field without a contract.
It's starting to feel intentional at this point.
And then I don't show up to the camps. I don't do anything. Until, like, you try to franchise me, I sit out. Fuck you. Because they've asked him to play a specific kind of football, right, that has some risk for injury. He's navigated pretty well so far, but it's starting to catch up to him, and now it's time to get paid.
Yep.
And if you're not going to pay him, let him go somewhere else where they'll pay him.
And they didn't get him any receivers over the years.
No, they took him away, actually. So
yeah, I'm with you. I'm the Bengals all day on this one. This one's easy. And same. Burrow at home, good luck. Have fun.
Also,
they're on fire right now.
Also, Burrow, who came into the game on fire the other day, and then, you know, it's like a guy who started to fuck but didn't come.
Yeah,
and now he's ready to fuck. You know what I mean? Like he may throw fucking 6 touchdowns in this game.
He might. Next up, we got the Texans and the Colts.
Gross. Don't watch this game.
No. Burn it.
This will probably be the last game that Matt Ryan plays. It'll probably be the last game that Jeff Saturday coaches.
Yeah, this is so all
maybe
done.
For posterity. Watch it. But
you're gonna have 2 new starting quarterbacks for both of these teams next year. Start over. The only reason this spread is -2.5 is because you physically have to put a spread up because there's going to be someone, wink, Delco, who will bet on this game.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, there will be somebody out here who
he'll
does
probably
this.
Bet like two or three times on this single.
Yeah, we'll see how the vibes are.
Yeah.
He's going to bet the game, then he's going to fucking hedge on his live line and then probably re-hedge on the next live line.
Well, it'll be a Sunday game too. Yeah. So if Justin Thomas isn't playing well, he's going to throw more money on this. And yeah.
Oh, he will. Yeah. I have no doubt he's gonna win this tournament.
We'll find out.
Well, it's ongoing right now. How's he doing?
It just started. Well, there's 4 hours behind us, so that he hasn't teed off yet.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
Next up is Jets, Dolphins. Eesh.
Dolphins got to win this game to get in.
They will.
Winning doesn't necessarily mean they get in. Well, they're not favored. It's Jets. It's minus one.
It's minus one. I think the Dolphins win, actually. It's Teddy Two Gloves, right?
He's starting. No, he's not.
Who is it?
He's got a hand thing right now.
No, shit. Who's starting for them?
That's why it's that
way. Gotcha.
Skylar Thompson.
Don't know who that is.
No one knows who he is.
He went to Kansas State.
His name is
WNBA player?
Yeah, his name's Skylar,
it sounds like a WNBA.
If your name is Skylar and you're,
prototypical Kansas State.
He's got like a quarterback. He's got a lined up beard.
Yeesh.
Like pays a lot of attention to the line on his beard. That's all you need to know about that guy.
You don't bet this game.
He's a typical Kansas City man.
Yep. Not betting this game at all. No.
But you know, the Dolphins do have to, they need help. I think that the Patriots have to lose and the Dolphins win and they're in. And the Patriots probably will lose, to be honest. So they're going to try to fucking win.
They're going to try to win.
I don't know what the fucking game plan is.
I don't either.
Just to fucking bring Tua out on a fucking dolly or some shit. Good luck.
Man. Ugh. They'll be going on at the same time, so they're not going to know. They're going to have to play their hardest.
Yep.
But I'm not watching this fucking thing. Next up, we got the Panthers against the Saints.
Both of these teams are already eliminated as well.
Gone. This is New Orleans -3.5. Nobody plays in this shit. I mean, I guess Chris Olave to try to get offensive rookie of the year, maybe.
Yeah.
But does that matter? Probably not.
And let's see where the Saints are draft-wise right now.
I think Garrett's too far ahead of him anyways. What's that?
We have the Saints pick.
Yeah.
Oh, so the Saints don't have a first-round pick next year?
Yeah. So, like, them beating us was kind of a fuck you to us as well.
Oh, that's funny. Who cares, though? You want the pick.
You got two first-round draft picks.
Yeah, you're good. Right.
But, you know, it's a better pick if we beat the fucking Saints, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's true. That's true. I think the Panthers win this game anyways. They beat the Lions. I don't know.
Who cares?
Who cares? Skip it.
Yeah.
I'm not betting on it in real life, so I don't know why I bother. Same with this next game, Browns, Steelers. I don't bet this in real life. Steelers, though, have a shot to get in, right?
Yeah, the Steelers can get in if the Patriots and Dolphins lose.
Which might happen.
Yeah. Decent chance that happens.
And all these games are at noon, so this will be going on at the same time. So they'll be cutting in and out when you're watching these games on Sunday.
Yeah.
At least they're all on at the same time, and they'll mix and match it. Mm-hmm. All right. With that said,
if you're
Tomlin is a great coach. I think the Steelers win this game. Then
I think you're probably right about that. But think about it from this perspective: if you're Deshaun Watson after the tumult that's happened this season and the fact that you haven't really been all that great so far. Knocking the Steelers out of the playoffs would be a big deal for the Browns, even though they're not.
This is their rival. This is a big rivalry game.
So, I mean, there's no better way for him to endear himself to the city than to fucking come out and stomp the Steelers' ass right now.
Yeah.
Unlikely that's going to happen, even though the Steelers don't have much of an offense to speak of, right? But we'll see.
We'll see. Next up, Chargers, Broncos. Denver -2.5. Is there no implications for the Chargers,
though? Do you know what the rumor is right now?
Mm-mm.
It said Sean Payton is going to the Chargers next season.
Ooh.
Man. And that makes... So think about this from the Cowboys' perspective. Mike McCarthy is a coach, right? We live in a world.
Yeah.
Right? He's a coach. He's a coach, and it's hard to find a great NFL coach. He's an okay NFL coach, right?
He's okay. Fine. Yeah.
He's just okay.
He's okay.
But if you have the chance, even if it is not on your exact timeline to get a guy like Peyton into your team, even if McCarthy wins a game in the playoffs, do you still kick him out and bring in the new guy who's better? Because Peyton is better.
Yeah.
I don't think that's disputable.
I do it.
Yeah,
I would do it.
I agree.
I'd do it. But if he goes to the Chargers, that makes sense because, it's a
young... If he goes to the Chargers, that's a fucking great pickup.
Herbert is young, very young, and they have a great fucking defense there. Man,
he just needs like a couple. I mean, what round draft pick does the team...
First. You lose a first.
Mm.
You got to give up a first for Peyton, for Sean Peyton. So that's what happened to Gruden. So the precedent's been set for that. So you're going to lose a first, and that hurts.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be a first this year, right?
It could be next year. Yeah.
I mean, they've got Keenan Allen and shit. I mean, they're not going to have a great first round draft pick anyway. So I don't know if it really matters.
Keenan Allen's old. You're going to have to replace him.
They need a number one receiver. Mike Williams is good.
He's good, but Gerald Everett's been hurt all year, most of the year.
Gerald Everett is really good at tight end, too.
Yes.
But he's also been injured most of the year, so they need to get some fucking receiver help there.
Eckler's been injured most of the year, but he's still got a shot at 1,000 yards.
Anyway, I don't bet this game. I don't think
I'm not going to bet this.
They have, if they win, they stay at the 5 seed. If they lose and
Chargers?
Yeah, if they lose and Baltimore wins, they lose the 5 seed. If they both lose, they have the Chargers have the tiebreaker. So win and you maintain the 5 seed.
Okay, so then I think they'll.
But I don't know that really.
Hang on, it'll matter for gambling, and here's why. That Baltimore game is before this. So if they lose, the Chargers will probably end up benching their starters.
I would say so. Yeah.
Yes. So wait and bet on this game if you are going to bet on this game.
I mean, as it stands right now, let's see. Seven. The Bills would play the Patriots in the first round. The Bengals would play the Ravens, and the Jaguars would play the Chargers. I mean, if you're the Chargers, that's the best matchup you're going to get in the first round.
Did you say the Bills will play the Patriots?
Yep.
Yeah. That's even more reason to knock them out. Yeah. So, yeah, they play each other this week. Next up is Giants-Eagles. This is Eagles minus 14. That's a lot of points. And the reason why is the Giants are locked into the 6th seed. Mm. They can't go up or down. They have no advantage of playing anyone in this game. You might as well get everybody healthy if they do have injuries, and then figure it out for the week after.
And you know what's also funny about this is the Vikings are also locked into the 3 seed, which means that's going to be their first round matchup.
Who?
The Giants-Vikings. Giants-Vikings. And to be honest,
why give each other game tape?
Don't do any of that stuff. And also, I think the Giants win that game.
Where is it at?
It'll be in Minnesota. But I don't think
it's indoors.
It matters. I don't think it matters. I think the Giants win that game.
But Cousins is good for one wild card win.
Sometimes.
And then that's it.
Sometimes.
That's it. But this Eagles game, 14 points. Who is Jalen Hurts playing? Because the Eagles have something to play for. This is a home field advantage. So he's
questionable. Did he practice today? Is there any update?
Yeah, is there any update on him?
I think he's playing.
Today? You think he's playing?
I think he's going to play.
I mean, here's the problem. So if the Eagles do win this game, they lock in first round bye.
Yes.
Which means if Hurts
does... It's a big deal.
Yeah, well, it is a big deal.
Especially for Hurts.
It's a big deal, but it's a big deal that Hurts will not... By the time he plays again in the second round of the playoffs, it would have been 35 days since he's played football.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
It is.
Not optimal. I think he needs to play in this game, if he's able.
If he's able to.
At least the first half or some shit.
Wait to bet it to see if he plays on this, because it's a lot of points. That's my best advice on this. If you want to take in a teaser or something, fine. But wait to see who's the starting quarterback for the Eagles. Next up, we got the Cardinals against the 49ers. And Jesus Christ, this is 14 as well. But the 49ers, here's where things get interesting. These two games are at the same time. So they have to play.
Mm-hmm.
They got to play their starters in this. Like
the 49ers do, yeah.
Both the 49ers and the Eagles.
Mm.
Well, I guess if the Giants are sitting out, but the Cardinals are, well, they're sitting out too.
The 49ers will win this game no matter what. I can't, I mean, look, who knows? Like, life is weird, but
I'm with you.
To be honest, if I'm the 49ers, I don't give a shit about the home field thing. I don't play any of my starters in this game. If I'm the 49ers, because you, especially not on the defensive side of the ball, like you've got all the.
I don't know if you want to play in the cold though. If you can avoid it and get home field.
Ayuk's been hurt this year.
Yes.
Christian McCaffrey always gets hurt.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been hurt this year, which is fucking scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of the guys on their defense. I mean, Debo back?
He's still out, right? Samuel
No, he's back now. Yeah. So
okay.
He's had injury problems this and last year. I mean, it's like.
Play him. I think you play him a half. Get up big in the first half, and then try to end this thing.
Maybe.
But 14 is a lot.
But you got to think they're going to be watching the scoreboard too. Like if the Eagles get up by 20 points, you bench all your starters.
I know.
There's no fucking point if you can't.
The Eagles hold the tiebreaker, right?
Yeah. If you can't catch them, well, the Eagles will. There's no tiebreaker. If the Eagles win, they'll be 14-4 or 14-3.
But do you look at this and say, all right, well, the Giants are definitely sitting in all their starters. Mm-hmm. So fuck it, I guess.
Can't do that either. Maybe you try to delay the calling a bomb threat and delay the game a little bit to see how the Eagles do for the first quarter. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see. Check back in on these two, and then we'll see what happens here starter-wise, because these will be later on in the afternoon.
Yeah, the Cowboys can win the 1 seed, though, if we lose and they win, because they have the tiebreaker.
No fucking way.
Which is they have a better record in the division.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
They have a better division record.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So if it's...
So yeah. If we are tied, I think they get the one seed.
No.
No.
They don't.
They win, we lose, they get the one seed.
It just says on ESPN's breakdown, it has the only notes on the 49ers are that they win the tiebreak with Minnesota.
But no, maybe he's, that's talking, just because, he's talking about the Eagles.
Yeah, I know. But if they, so I guess technically if the Eagles lose and the 49ers win, they would be tied. Yeah, but how, like, it's...
Or the Cowboys. Yeah, yeah. What he's saying is if the Eagles lose and the Cowboys win,
Cowboys are the one
then
seed.
The Cowboys are the one seed.
Who are the Eagles playing?
Giants. Eagles are playing Giants, the Giants.
As a conference game. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
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 How funny would that be? Oh, that would be the best case scenario for me because I want the Cowboys fans up as high as possible. Just for,
and it's here. We'd be able to get to go to the game. It's down the road. Now I'm kind of rooting for that.
That would be really funny. But the Eagles will not lose this game.
And the Cowboys have the tiebreaker over the 49ers too?
Yeah, but, well, if they win, because the Cowboys will be 9-3 in the fucking conference games, and the Eagles would be 8-4. And
that's, yeah, but over the 49ers too? How does that work? If they're both 13-4, 49ers have it over the Cowboys too?
It could be the 49ers.
You would have to look at the conference.
Yeah, right, I think the 49ers would have that as a tiebreaker because they're 9-2 in conference play right now. Okay. And they would be, I guess technically they would both be 9-3 in that scenario.
Though. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know what
flip a coin.
Yeah, what's the third tie? Yeah, I think it is a flip coin, actually.
Might be. It might be points scored. Who knows?
Did they play each other this year? No, right?
No, they didn't play each other this year.
I don't know how this works.
Cowboys are probably going to lose to the Redskins anyways.
I think so, too. Wait, who's the quarterback for the
they're starting that fucking Sam rookie. Howell. Sam Howell, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Let him sling it.
Well, you might as well. What do you have to lose?
Has he ever played a game?
In the college preseason.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's a pretty good quarterback at UNC until Drake May.
Yeah.
He was better. He was supposed to be the dude, man.
He was. And then, UNC was supposed to be like a national championship team.
I picked him as a dark horse to win a Heisman a couple years ago, too.
It was last year, probably.
Man. Yeah. He's. Yeah.
We'll they see. Lost that opening game to Virginia Tech.
I know. And that was it. That was the season ended for him.
Well, next game is Rams Seahawks.
Is there anything for the Seahawks? Can they do anything in this game?
Yeah,
if
they win, they're in, I think.
Oh, for the Seahawks?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they win the tiebreaker over Detroit.
Not over the Packers.
No. Division tiebreak was initially used to eliminate Green Bay.
But Green Bay doesn't play till later on, and they're not going to know that answer, so they're going to have to play their ass off in this game.
Yeah, Packers winning, they're in.
Yeah. So it's Seattle -6 in this game. I'm going to drop this down in a teaser and take Seattle because they're going to have to win.
Yeah, they definitely have to win.
Now Baker's playing for his life and to go somewhere.
You got
to
be crazy to give Baker Mayfield a fucking starting job in the NFL.
I am 100% in agreement with that, and I don't think he wants to be a backup.
He says he will, but
did he really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot of money. I mean, it's smart shit.
What's he care?
If you could be a backup, great. Be a
backup. If you're Baker Mayfield, it's like you suck and get criticized all the time and get paid a little bit more money, but your body gets fucked up because you're getting torched all the time.
Yeah.
Or you don't do shit and you get paid a little bit less money.
Or he goes to the booth, he goes to college.
Well, eventually he will, yeah.
Or, I mean, pros or college, whatever he's going to do. I'll take the Seahawks in this one. With that on the line, Cowboys -7 over the Redskins here. Boy. Cowboys always find a way to fuck it up.
Now the Redskins are eliminated. That's why they're starting their rookie.
Yep. They want a better draft pick.
But, you know, the only thing, I don't know if anything can save Ron Rivera's job right now, but beating the Cowboys right here would be a good step in the right direction.
Sure would. Yeah. With a quarterback who's never played before.
Yeah.
I'm still going to take the Cowboys in this
game. They're not going to lose.
No.
But you can take it down to Cowboys pick 'em. And a 7-point teaser, so.
Yeah, I think you're even fine. Whenever it's 7, I'll usually buy half a point anyways. So I'll probably do that. I think the Cowboys probably roll because they need it. They need to win. Last game of the NFL regular season. Potentially, we'll see what happens with what they do with the Bengals-Bills game. But it's the Lions at the Packers. Oh, my. It is Green Bay -4.5. Over under 49. What do you do here, man?
Green Bay -4.5. It's all things being equal, Aaron Rodgers versus any other quarterback in this situation, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. They got the better defense as well, right? And finally, their young receivers are running the correct routes.
Uh-huh.
Finally. Which, you know, you can say that that's their fault, or you can say it's just the circumstance of them being, you know, young receivers. Or you could say, hey, if Aaron Rodgers had shown up to any camps from summer until fucking preseason, he didn't even have to play the preseason games.
Yeah.
Just show up to the fucking thing.
And have chemistry a little bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But yet now they do, very clearly. Mm-hmm. You can see it on the sideline. You can see it in the middle of the game. The Packers probably win this game by fucking seven or more.
So every Sunday night game, because I, you know, I enjoy it. I like to tease it up. And I'll do the over-under and then usually the spread. And I always post it in Drinking Bros Sports. It's on Facebook. Again, it's free. And you can see all the bet slips there. With this game, I think this is a field goal game. I think the Packers win. 4.5 is a little too much for me. So I'll tease this up. I'll take Lions plus 11.5, and I'll take the over down to 42, and I'll take that over in this one for this game only. And this will be on all the bingo cards as well that I like to post over there. I think this is a very, very, very close game. I think it's a field goal. 4.5 is a little too much for me. It's a one score game. Now, is it a field goal or a touchdown? Who knows? But that 4.5 scares me.
It's supposed to.
I know.
I mean, that's
why they do it. I know.
That's
I know.
Right where the game. That's right where it should be.
I
think that the. I just think Aaron Rodgers is gonna fucking.
I think he pulls it out somehow, just because it's Aaron Rodgers. Is that the only reason? I think we both think the same thing, but it's because of Aaron Rodgers, right?
Well, it's
he'll find that magic and just do it
because of him and who he is as a fucking player, but also because of the dynamics of the game, right? I mean, who's the best receiver on the Lions without looking?
Well, I know the only reason I know this is because of fantasy football, and it's the St. Brown guy. Now, if you're going to tell me to name his first name, I absolutely can't do
Isn't
that.
Isn't it Amon?
Don't know.
Or something like that?
I don't
that?
Know, but I got torched by him in the playoffs on another team in the flex position, and he has 1,100 yards and 100 catches on the year, and it's fucking insane to me, because I before this season I've never even heard of this person being alive in the world.
Yep.
And and I got smoked in a playoff game in fantasy football because of it. So yeah, give me 11.5 for Detroit, and give me this over at 42. That's where I'm going with this one. The rest of these spreads are fine. I'll take them normally. The only ones I'll wait on: San Francisco and Philly. Those are both 14. They're both at the same exact time. I'll wait to see who's actually playing in those games before I move on.
Yeah.
But are you going to take the Packers at -4.5? I know you're going straight up this week.
Yeah.
Okay. You're still going to do that at okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you think they win by a touchdown?
Yep.
All right.
Or I think they win by 5 or 6 or something like that, but I don't think it's going to be as close as 4.5.
Okay.
I just think this is a statement game. Like, Aaron Rodgers is, when he feels like being one, a pretty decent leader.
Mm-hmm.
He just decides not to be because he's too busy fucking smoking crack in the fucking woods and shit.
Podcasts.
But he understands, as any leader would understand, that it isn't enough just to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come make a statement. It's not enough to. Nobody wants to feel like they just squeaked into the playoffs. And he's been listening. I don't know if you've listened to him in interviews the last couple of weeks. He's like, everybody was talking shit. And all we said was, we just got to keep winning one game after another. That's it. And that's what he's been saying. And then he, this week, started talking more and more about the how in sync he is now with his receivers. So he's got to come out and throw 3 or 4 touchdowns in this game.
And the last note I'll give you on this is, if Seattle loses, then the Lions have a shot to get in. This will be a fight to the death game. And it'd be great if Baker Mayfield was able to beat Seattle, just so that we can see these guys fight for their lives.
I would like to see it as a playoff game. That'd be
a blast. Yeah. It'd be a blast. So keep an eye on that. In the meantime, join us over on Drinking Bros YouTube page, the regular one. We'll be doing fake news here in about 15 minutes. And then tonight we're going to record a January 6th special. That'll be fun. That'll air tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know,
the video will air tomorrow, not the audio.
You're going to see some new shirts.
Yeah. Well, you got one on right now.
This is one of them. Yeah. It's my turn on the good hole.
It's my turn on the good hole. Yeah. That's out.
And then you're going to see a couple. You'll see a new shirt here in about 15 minutes on fake news. And then tomorrow you'll see an even worse one.
Yes. Yes. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, go to iTunes, Drinking Bros Sports, rate the show a 5-star and leave a review. Please do that. We need reviews on that goddamn thing. I know you guys hate doing it. So do I in real life, dude. It's for the fucking advertisers. We can keep the goddamn lights on for this shit. And then go to Spotify. Just click a 5-star and you can walk away on Drinking Bros Sports. And then again, join us on Drinking Bros Fake News on YouTube here coming up. And as always, bet with us or against us on MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit up to $1,000. For D'Anthony, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the NFL Week 18 Pick'em Show. Good night, everyone.